Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Sulaiman, how's everything there in Pakistan? I've heard a lot of verdicts and fatawa coming from the jihad is now farad. Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, everything is fine here. Weather is nice again. No rain, but lots of wind, and so it takes brings down the hot air, the wind. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, there's a lot of political stuff going on. Politics is, you know, good entertainment, I guess you could say. So they're not passing really any laws here. In Pakistan, but the government and the people, the political groups are involved in what's happening in Palestine, even though it's on the periphery.
Okay.
We have Jamaat Islami here,
okay,
which was started by Maududi, okay, and they're considered a political religious party, and they put politics. They feel Islam is politics. Okay, they feel the Prophet was a statesman, and the Khulafa Rashidin, they were statesmen, and they ran a political system. So this boycott thing for Gaza has taken front stage here. When Mufti Taqi, when he's talked about jihad being fought, and so that just helped by Jamaat Islami, that this, so they stepped right on in, and we've had rallies here on Juma, and yesterday was Sunday, so there's no work. There was more rallies and Palestinian flags and the whole deal.
Okay.
So that's what's happening now. There's a lot of talk, a lot of buzz, especially since right now is the Pakistan Super League for cricket. Okay, these different teams within Pakistan, different parts of Pakistan, different cities, and they play against each other. And two of the sponsors, one is, I think, Coca-Cola and maybe KFC or somebody else. So Wasim Akram, who was just retired a couple of years ago, a very famous bowler, he took the side of the sponsors and saying, why you want to boycott the sponsors? This what's happening in Palestine is political. It has nothing to do with cricket. Okay, leave them alone. And the people pushing back and saying, oh, how can you have, this tournament with Israeli sponsors? There's a lot of back and forth with that. So I've been discussing things with ulama here because, I'm busy with my status update on what's up and so others. So they were putting this out and saying how they felt that we should get on Wasim Akram and we should get on the backs of the Pakistan Super League tournament and protest about this and we'll support the boycott and like this and like that. So I got into a little back and forth and I said, brother, even Mufti Taqi says that to watch cricket, whether it's live or on television, is makruh. Okay? Because you're wasting time.
Mm.
All right? So why are you spending all this energy talking about you want the thing to go forward. You want the tournament to go forward, but you just don't like the sponsors. But the tournament itself,
yes,
is problematic. Okay, so why don't you change your efforts, all right, to stop, trying to replace the tournament sponsors with other sponsors that you're happy with. Instead of doing that, why don't you go to Islamabad and put pressure on the government to have a military solution to what's happening in Gaza?
Yes.
For over 1 year, we've been boycotting. Mm. Okay, and how many people have died? How many people have been shaheed? Over 50,000, and that's with the boycott and people bragging about how a Starbucks and KFC has closed down in Turkey and some other countries where they've lost millions of dollars. Okay, yeah, all right. So what is the benefit of the boycott? All right, a store that sells mostly makruh and haram things are having problems, but 50,000 of our people have been shaheed. So what is the real benefit out of that? Let's calm down with that. Let's, number one, go to our local governments. We have 50-something Muslim countries. Let us put pressure on our governments, all right, to have a military solution, okay, not a boycott. Okay, send every Islamic country, send one plane, all right? That's enough. One battalion of foot soldiers, this is enough. Okay, and we'll see how long this thing will last after that. Because Americans will not support Israel by putting boots on the ground. Americans don't want Americans dying. Okay, this is why they're so good at sending drones and things like this.
They've had enough of
that. Attack. Yeah, they've had enough, and they haven't. When was the last time they won a war?
Never.
Since Vietnam, they've been losing. So I felt that, listen, we need to go to Islamabad and get the Zardari and Sharif and all these other people on board with having a military solution, all right? And if they refuse to give any type of support, then, all right, this is democracy now, huh? So what do you do in other democracies? When the people in power are not doing what you want, you vote them out. You tell them, like Israel does in America, anybody that votes against Israel with their PAC, okay, Political Action Committee, they find another candidate, all right, who's not in office. They put money behind him. They support him in the next election. And when he gets elected, then he's in their hands. Okay, so we do the same thing here. Okay, when we have a haram system, all right, but let's use it now, okay, in a proper way. And if the people, Nawaz Sharif, Zardari, and all these other people, if they refuse to put pressure, military pressure, vote them out of office. Support candidates who will do this. Who say, well, I get elected, and if the thing is still going on, I will definitely... You know, I promise to do that, this, or the other. We need to do that. One. Number two, OIC, Organization of Islamic Countries. All right. Put pressure on them to have a military solution. All right. This is what they were put there for. Correct?
Yeah.
And the third thing is we have a, quote, Islamic army. General Rahil, ex-general. Retired General Rahil of Pakistan was put in charge of the Islamic army that all these different Islamic countries put agreed to be in. We had a big fight. We didn't want Iran included, but Iran was included. All right. So now, what is the excuse now? All right. We have all these countries. We have a military group. Okay, of only. Muslim, troops. So, okay, let's do something now. All right, these are things that we need to be doing because, again, Maulana Desai and Mufti Taghi and others said that it's hard on the governments to do something, okay, not necessarily individuals. So let's push our governments to do something.
Yes. And that makes, that's a resolution, because I've read that statement you sent me also of Mufti AS, my ASDSI, and it said about that if you're going to say that it's farad upon every single person, and then what's going to happen? That means, in essence, in practice, I'm saying this in practice, that I am here, I'm not practicing on the farad of what is the duty responsibility upon me now. If I'm not doing it, I'm a major sinner. And
exactly.
How the thing is, I've heard this now, I'll just play it quickly if I can just get it here as soon as he has it here. Right? This is Mulana Fadlur Rahman of Pakistan. And I think this fatwa just needs to be slightly adjusted. I'll play it now, just here. You know.
صرف پاکستان کے مسلمانوں کے لیے نہیں بلکہ عالم اسلام کے لیے ہے کہ فلسطینیوں کے شانہ بشانہ عملی جہاد میں شریک ہونا اب امت پر فرض ہو چکا ہے. جہاں جہاں کا مسلمان جس جس راستے سے وہاں شریک ہو سکتا ہو.
So we've heard there, and he says it's farad upon every upon the Muslim ummah. So this means now that, okay, I was thinking about this last night, and I just realized you're the most perfect person to speak to because you're from Pakistan. So you can tell us, because if we're going to say it's farad upon the whole ummah, then how do, as me as a person here, how will I get to, how do I get into Gaza, firstly, with my weapons or with whatever, if I supposedly had any, I'm not saying I've got any, but how do I do all of that overnight? And so then I said, that's, at this time, that's impossible. When we look at the wars of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had a strategy in place. And it wasn't just something that we act on instinct. Yes, Badr was there, situations were there. But something like this, if I'm not going to plan strategically what's going to happen to me, I'm just going to put myself in a prison or something for no reason. When I can avoid that and have something that is strategic in place. So then I thought, okay, that's out of the picture for now. South Africans to go, because you'll get many now who are saying, okay, we're going jihad, is farad upon us. We got the fatwa from Pakistan. Our Indo-Pak ulama are giving this fatwa now. So this is all. But okay, that's good. But now I said, okay, let's first see what those who are giving away those who are giving the fatwa in Pakistan, what are they doing to get this thing mobilized? And you've given a nice few solution answer here, which is a suggestion. But is there anything that they are doing currently to say that we're going to get our armies mobilized and we are a Muslim country supposedly? So is this happening?
Of course not. There is no talk about military solution. All right. There is no talk like that at all. The talk is only yelling slogans, Israel Mortabat, and carrying signs and Palestinian flags and blocking the streets. Okay, so traffic is, at a standstill. That's the only thing that they're doing. There's no talk, but there's still talk of, stopping the terrorism, the Pakistan Taliban who attack certain positions inside of Pakistan, and you will have the president or the prime minister talk about eliminating this terrorism, and it will be eliminated, and the problems with Afghanistan. We have problems. We, Pakistan, have problems with groups in Afghanistan allegedly plotting things in Afghanistan and doing it in Pakistan and then fleeing back over the border safely to Pakistan, and the Taliban government in Afghanistan not doing anything about it. This type of military action is being talked about. All right. If it continues to happen, we will fire on these people. We will shoot these people down and whatnot. That's the only military talking. Muslim against Muslim.
And then you sent me something last night, and I said, okay, let's do a proper test. And this, I said, is a personal test upon myself. The listeners, you can take the test upon yourself. So we do have that spirit for jihad, and that's something we should be having. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من سأل الله تعالى بصدق من سأل الله تعالى الشهادة بصدق We ever ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for martyrdom with truthfulness, sincereness. بَلَّغَهُ مَنَازِلَ الشُّهَدَى. Allah will raise him to that status where in mata ala firoshi, even though he passes away on his bed. So of course we have to, that desire is not something that is supposed to be a fairy tale. It's supposed to be something that is real. I do, I want it. But yeah, I also have to be strategic in my approach. And if I'm truthful, I'm seeing myself as a citizen here in South Africa. If I am 100% truthful, then I refer to your message which you sent me last night, a nice red reminder with a warning kind of sign there. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha still farad outside of Ramadan. To go back and see that which is farad upon me at this particular moment, at this particular time, on this particular day, how well am I doing it? If I'm doing it, how well am I doing it? If I'm doing those five, then what's my... Because ultimately, when we go back to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and the whole incident where he was fighting, he had the upper hand on the enemy, and then the enemy spat in his face and he stopped. So this year is its preparations. If I'm thinking I'm ready, how ready am I? And this year is the nafs, the control of the nafs, because if I'm fighting just because I'm a good you know, I'm in the gym, I'm well known and I'm quite muscular. And people, I'm not nothing near muscular, but I'm just saying, people know me to be that, and you know, pumping iron and the rest. So, you know, I can walk and I'm the one, chosen one for this particular effort of jihad. That's not the case, because that's Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and the rest. What, go and see what they did, how they killed their enemies. And they were not muscular. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that's a whole discussion on its own. But what I'm going back to is this year, that which is farad upon me now, I need to work on that. So that should, Mullah A.S. told us, when I asked him about this, he said, we will give you the, now go fight. So,
a few months ago when Maulana Desai, when he said that it was time for us to fight, when the people asked about should we go fight, he said, the ulama are not ready yet. Okay? If you got to go, you're going to be going under the ulama, right? And the ulama are not ready yet. That's what he said, you know, several months ago. Right? The people are not ready for doing something that causes a lot of effort and grief, that will take them out of their comfort zone. Now, if you tell them that there's a certain process you have to go through, that is a very long process, an arduous process to get a green card in America, now everybody's ready to do that. Okay? So I had been talking 2 weeks ago to someone and complaining about how so many of our ulama, because it was Ramadan, are making umrah, okay, making umrah this time of year, okay, and several times, okay, because Saudi is giving our ulama discounts and what have you, extended visas and what have you. I said, since we know that if we pray Fajr in Jama'at, okay, and then we wait in the masjid and in the same spot until Ishraq, we will get the same reward as an Umrah, as an accepted Hajj and Umrah. Okay, so there's no need for us to be going back and forth, especially the ulama. We should be using that money to send it, you know, so food and medicine can be purchased, you know, and given to our brothers and sisters in Gaza. So the brother that I was talking with, he was saying, but who can you trust? And, are we sure that the money's going to get there and this and that? You see, so to make effort to go for Umrah, when you're going to spend a lot of money, okay, that's no problem, because Saudi's making it easy for you to do that. But all right, let's take away, you know, the small problem. There are some people like Beitul Salam and other people that are doing something. There's some Brahmi groups that are doing something to get you know, clothing and what have you to Gaza. So why are we using this excuse? And who can you trust? And they said, well, who do you trust to get you to Saudi for the Umrah? Hmm. Well, who do you get to trust to get you a green card in America? That's it. You make every effort. You got to go to the bank. You got to get this signature. You got to get the birth certificate, this and that, and all these things. And you go do it while you're working. Hmm. Okay? But now, you know, so if it takes you out of your comfort zone, right, how many, 90% of us don't pray, okay, 5 times a day. All right? The masjid is empty at Fajr. And we expect people are going to leave their job and go fight jihad somewhere out of the country. I don't know. Was this a Che Guevara? Who was it? One of these revolutionaries, I think it was Che Guevara, who said that people driving Mercedes don't fight jihad, don't fight revolution, okay? People who have good jobs, middle class and upper middle class, they're in their comfort zone. Mm. They have too much to lose, right? So and the poor people who have nothing to lose don't have the resources to get there. Mm. So, you know, and again, we don't need a lot of people going there who don't have much iman and knowledge of the deen. Okay, you see what happens at Hajj with so many people. There's so many problems at Hajj because people are going there who don't normally practice the deen. All right, it's a once in a lifetime thing. But it does, that's a big problem. Muslims never lost a battle due to numbers, due to lack of numbers. They were always in the minority, and they always won because they had the taqwa. Now, if 90% of us don't pray, and most of them want to go and go fight jihad, how successful will they be in the jihad? Hmm. So we know the stories of Salah ad-Din Ayyubi, rahmatullahi alayh. He had more problems with his soldiers than he did against the crusaders. Is that correct?
Yes. Hmm. Shias and the rest were involved.
See, so yeah, we have trained armies, huh? But even they, as Hazard would say, you know, surrendered to the monkey worshippers, okay, of India some years ago. All right, even though we had trained, we have a Muslim army in Pakistan. So yeah, that's the next thing. Mm. That's the next thing. When the Mullah Umar was to receive help, when the America first attacked, when Mullah Umar was there, Sufi Muhammad from the northern areas, he took, I think, 10,000 10,000 of us, and he went over there to fight, and Mullah Umar sent him back and said, no, we don't need you now. You don't know the area, you don't know the terrain, you'll be a liability for us. All right? If we need you, we will call you. But right now, don't come. Okay? Even though it's 10,000 with their own weapons. No, we don't need you right now. Okay? And what happened to him? When he went back to Pakistan, Musharraf had him arrested. Okay? And put in jail. All right? So that's where we are. That's where we are, brother. If you tried by yourself here, all right, and made it known that you wanted to go to Gaza to fight, okay, the ISI and other government agencies will probably be watching you and, you know, checking you out and maybe even arrest you before you even left. Hmm.
So, yeah, that's exactly what we're getting to. And Mufti Sahib will carry on with us tomorrow, inshallah. And the short of it is that we're not discouraging and we're not taking the back, because some people may say, oh, they're too comfortable, that's why. The real issue is start preparing. Mulana Ismail Shaheed, what he used to do, used to walk barefoot. People used to say, but why are you walking barefoot? He said, in case in jihad, and he was known as a Shaheed, he passed away as a martyr. He was preparing already. He said, Yes, if I don't have shoes or I lose my shoes for so many miles, for so many kilometers, I can still walk because I already prepared for it. My feet is prepared for it. So we're not saying take the back feet. We're saying start preparing now. Mufti, also we have other issues to discuss tomorrow also about, we'll see inshallah next time, Sudan. We need
tomorrow's our extended time, right?
Yeah, inshallah. Yeah. So, Tuesday. Yes, 8:30 to 9, inshallah. So appreciate it, Mufti. Inshallah. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum
as-salam. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.